A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Here ends the reading. Let us pray. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in and be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell, O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. So you think I'm going to get real serious now. I wonder how many Ancestry.com and 23andMe kits will be given as Christmas presents this year. Anybody here give them? Oh, maybe you're not saying yet. Maybe there's still some wrapped up under the tree. I'm told that in 2017, over 2 million were sold. And as far as I can tell, there's probably double that by this year. I received one last Christmas. And my brother received one from me for his birthday in March. As adopted children, we have natural curiosity about our birth lineage. And while we now know more than many adoptive kids know, I learned, for example, that my birth father had died on Christmas Eve, 6 months before I learned of his identity. And that was thanks to my Ancestry.com adventure. And after a year of insulting, after years, of a whole lifetime of insulting my friends who are Norwegian, I discovered I'm half Norwegian. Now, my brother, he had an even bigger surprise in store because when the results came back, he had a direct match to a half sibling. And that half sister enabled him to resolve the mystery of who his birth father had been. And this is not the first half-sister my brother has found, mind you. On his birth mother's side, there are now two others, and happily, they've all formed a close bond. Now, I've been promised by my brother that, meanwhile, I will always retain my standing as his original sister. So far, so good. Though I always inform the newbies that part of the package deal is also inheriting me, because my brother and I come as a set. And I tell my brother that he is the gift that keeps on giving sisters. His wife just rolls her eyes, but we know, don't we, Ryan, that she's a saint. Ancestry was very important to the Israelites. In writing his version of the birth of Jesus, for example, as we talked about last Sunday, Matthew's primary concern is to impress upon his fellow Jews that Jesus had the credentials to really be the long-awaited Messiah. And Matthew makes his case by tracing Jesus' lineage right back to the very father of the nation of Israel, and that's Abraham. And then, like the family trees that emerge out of our Ancestry.com adventures, Matthew connects the dots between Abraham, through 14 generations to King David, and then another 14 generations from David to Joseph, Mary's husband, and the adoptive father of Jesus. Identity is important to all of us, isn't it? To be a pilgrim. I mean, that's something, isn't it? You bet. And I think it's fascinating that the two most famous names in Jesus' day, who play key roles in the Christmas story, Quirinius, the governor of Syria, and the Roman Emperor Augustus, both very secure in their famous identities back then, have largely been forgotten in history now. The great irony of the Christmas story is that today it's the courageous teenage unwed mother Mary and the confused but kind and faithful husband Joseph, that's common carpenter, who we remember this evening. All around the world in every conceivable time zone across the globe, the story is being told tonight, tomorrow, about Mary and Joseph. And the only reason we remember Quirinius and Augusta at all is because they're this kind of weird footnote in the story about a homeless baby boy born in a cattle stall in Bethlehem named Jesus, which means God saves. I think if we were honest with ourselves this evening as we gather in this sacred worship space and take in the awesome wonder of these blazing candelabra and the aching beauty of the music of the season, if we look deeper than the usual greetings we share with each other and all the family and friends we've welcomed to our homes for scrumptious meals and then to church to enjoy this 76th Christmas Eve service here in this same place where many of you have sat with parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles long gone. If we peeked under the veneer of our holiday bravado, I suspect we might find a whole lot of us who came here this evening with a mix of hopes and fears. We've come here in faith, and we've come here in doubt. Doubts about ourselves, our lives, our families, our community, our country, our world. And we aren't alone in this. A quick scan of the nightly news or of the daily newspapers certainly tells us that we are in good company all over the globe. And if we're honest with ourselves, we might even admit to our identity crises, like Mary must have been feeling, and Joseph, and even those shepherds out in the field who actually abandoned their sheep. Shepherds never did that, by the way. They would sooner have abandoned their families than their sheep in those days. And like the mysterious wise men from the East, who you just know when you stop and think about it, must have traveled with women too, we never hear about them, but maybe their whole families following this unusual star until it led them to the manger stall at Bethlehem. And I wonder who else would have cooked their meals and washed their clothes and brought them comfort along this long journey, but for the women in their lives, and yet, it's the three wise men, right? But all along the way, they must have asked themselves 1,000 times what they were doing, chasing a star so far from their duties at home. They too had identity crises. And so we gather together this evening to be reassured in our ultimate identities as God's beloved children. So let's not make any more complicated than it needs to be this Christmas story. Because the Christmas message in itself is profoundly simple. God came to join us where we are, here in this life. God wanted to relate to us here in this life. And so God took on our human form to show us just how much God loves us. God came to this conclusion when God saw how confused we've become in our identities. Instead of building each other up, we were tearing each other down. Instead of building bridges of hope, we were building walls of isolation. And where were we doing that from? Which place? Well, from a place of inner despair. Humanity had become very good at doing painful things to each other out of a sense of confusion and insecurity. And God had tried to help us by giving us laws to follow and sending us prophets to guide us, to warn us, to help us, to get us back on track for living out our lives with loved ones in peace and joy. Isn't that really what we only want? Nothing seemed to work. So God decided to get personally involved with us. And no, not to judge us, not to frighten us, not to frighten our families, not to punish us, but rather to make it clear to us that we are loved exactly as we are. Cynics, doubters, boasters, manic depressives, those of us addicted, those of us who are selfish and insecure and meek and stuck and scared and lonely and grieving, dull or brilliant, sad or happy, young or old, gay or straight, and everything in between, black, brown, yellow, or white, God loves us just the way we are. This very odd nativity story was a strategic move on God's part to reinforce the message for us that God loves us no matter what. God loves you just as you are. Why else would God have shaped a story where a poor, unwed, unknown, obscured village girl gives birth to Jesus who ultimately saves us? And why else would God draw in a good man, but a man confused by frustrating circumstances, to nurture Jesus and to partner with Mary in raising him? No degrees from Harvard or Yale or Marist or Vassar or Dutchess Community? No fancy resume? Why in the world else would God have chosen rough sleeping shepherds to be the first evangelists? Why not send the Son of God to be born to the Emperor Augustus, attend all the best schools, hobnob with all the go-to people of high society, and hang out with the kids of Quirinius? I think it was to show that God's love doesn't leave anyone behind. God doesn't need us to be important, or together, or rock solid in our faith, or pure in our actions, or steady in our best intentions to live according to God's ways. There is no quid pro quo in God's relationship with us or love for us. God sees us exactly as we are, knows us, calls us by name before we were even formed in our mother's wombs. That was my favorite psalm, Psalm 139. As an adopted kid, and you're trying to figure yourself out, well, God knew us before we were formed in our mother's wombs. Think on that. God never lets us go. Who else does that? The Christmas story with these extraordinarily unusual characters reinforced for us that God loves all of us, but especially wants those who don't feel loved or lovable. Those who regularly feel like they're on the outside looking in. Those who feel forgotten. And those who wonder what the point of life is. He wants them to hear the good news of great joy, that God loves all of us. The theme of the Christmas story is profoundly simple. The angels got it, and they passed it on to the shepherds, and they talked it up wherever they went. The profoundly simple message delivered in the angels' song is this: Jesus is born for you. Not just good news in general, but very personal news for you and for all people. So the question tonight is, will you join the angels and the shepherds in sharing this good news that God loves us and has adopted us into God's family, where our identities are secure and the family love unconditional? There must be someone you know who needs to hear that. Jesus is born for you. Who is that person? Maybe it's you. Amen.